One of the more popular front-end frameworks these days is known as React.js. Let's take a look at how it can be used by mashing on that. Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, I'm going to do a quick introduction to the React.js. This is going to be kind of a two-parter. I'm going to come back and take a look at isomorphic applications or front-end rendering in a second episode. But for now, we're just going to look at the JavaScript side of this. So I have a brand new solution here, hopefully called React Demo. We'll link to it in the show notes here. But I just wanted to show how quick and easy it is to get started with React. So I started off in the gulp file here, and there are, of course, a million billion different ways to get React stuff built and to chain it into your JavaScript build pipeline. This is like the simplest, quickest approach that I could throw together here. So all I'm doing is I'm taking everything inside of the JavaScripts folder here, and you notice that I'm not taking stuff that's out of the www root. If you take a look at some of our previous videos and our book, we generally recommend not checking in the www root, even though I have checked in here, ignore that. And the idea being that everything inside of this folder should be kind of a build artifact that comes from somewhere else, which is why I have a JavaScripts folder here for the holding of the scripts. And I just have inside here a pages folder and an index.js. So what I've done with gulp is I've required gulp, which is gulp itself, and then I have required this library called gulp babel. So babel is a JavaScript transpiler which takes complicated future JavaScript and makes it realistic nowadays JavaScript. So basically it'll take like ES 2016 or 2017. Is there an ES 2017 yet? No, but there should be.
I'm not even sure.
Yeah. Any day now, I'm sure. And compiles it down into slightly more approachable versions of JavaScript for many browsers out there that don't yet have support for the full range of JavaScript. So anyway, I take the source files, which I think in JavaScript, and I'm going to pipe it through to Babel, and I'm going to ask it not to compact it, so we can take a look and see what it looks like. And I'm going to load this React preset here. So we don't normally have to do that, except that React has a special little language in it called JSX. And this is the part of React that usually blows people's minds, is that instead of keeping your JavaScript and your page content separate, which has always been the way of things, like we've always divided our applications into HTML for the content, CSS for the markup, and JavaScript for the behavior, we change it up and we say, instead of like vertically slicing this or perhaps horizontally slicing this, we're going to think of the page as a bunch of different components. So maybe you would have like a menu bar, and that's a component, and that component is responsible not just for the look of that, but also the behavior and the markup and everything about that. So if you would wanted to change your menu bar, you would only have to go into one place to do it. So
madness.
It takes a little bit of getting your head around, but this is what JSX looks like here. So this is a ES 2015, sorry, I'm gonna call that the wrong name forever, class here, and within it we are implementing this render function here, which prints out HTML inside of your JavaScript. So this is a very simple one here. What we're going to do is we're going to start off with a div. So it's important in React that you start everything off with a container. I think in latest versions of React there are ways around this, but for the most part, this is the approach you want to take.
That's going to be familiar to anybody who's ever used Bootstrap, so that's fine.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Well, the rule of Bootstrap for people who are unsure of it, and really like web browser layouts in general, is that if it doesn't look quite the way you want it to look, add another div until it looks right.
It's precisely the prescription.
Yeah, 100% of the time. So within that, I have a logo. So this is not an HTML tag that people would normally be familiar with, because it's not really an HTML tag. Because it starts with a capital letter, by convention, the stuff inside of this is going to render out a logo component. And if I scroll down here, the logo component is very simple. It's just an image. Right, so we need to have a top-level component, and that's, or a top-level container. That in this case, it's just the image here. But it's very simple, and it means that you don't have to worry too much about what the implementation of logo is. Like right here, I just have an image with a source on it. But if I wanted something that was more complicated, like I wanted to render out a whole SVG in line here, I could do that too, or I could use a picture element so that I had a little bit more awareness around what this component was. Sorry, I realized that I forgot to put your gentleman's faces on our broadcast here. There we go.
Which is a shame, because we are quite good looking.
Well, people will just have to be satisfied with half a video of your fantastic faces.
It's certainly better than nothing.
If people are really upset about it, they could just pause it and maybe print out some screen caps, which would not at all be creepy. We'd be quite flattered.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so this is like a JavaScript file. Do we get IntelliSense on the HTML portion here?
That's a good question. I think you do, actually.
If you were to do like class equals on the key or
something. Yeah, I could do like another div here, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that is probably thanks to our good friend Mads.
Most likely.
Who has worked tirelessly on support for these sorts of things. But we also get like hybrid support for things that exist in here too. So I'm pretty sure this will do like completion here. Yeah, there you go. So it does it as JavaScript completion.
Oh, that is crazy.
So anyway, a component consists of a bunch of markup, but it can also consist of state. And for the most part, I tend to isolate my state in the kind of the highest level component, and then I use that to pass properties down into lower level stuff. So React is different from something like Angular or Knockout in that it doesn't support two-way data bindings. So if you have something like Knockout, by changing the thing that it's bound to on the page, so say you bind to a form control, by changing that, it'll change the stuff in the model. And by changing the stuff in the model, it'll change the stuff on the page. And this is always like, it's difficult to do that, basically. Like there's always some hack around having to do that, either by making your models be extensions of some other class, or by passing your class in and then using some specific tool to update them. So like Knockout, you always have to use like parentheses when you're setting values in it, because once you put your model into Knockout, it's no longer just like a pure JavaScript object anymore. So with this, I pass parameters down or properties down to underlying bits inside of the component hierarchy here. So I have a name box here, which is going to print out a label, a div and a label, an input form here. And I'm going to push the state down. So when I initially start this up, I'm going to pull the properties.name from this component, and I'm going to print it, and I'm going to assign it to the state. And then down here, I'm just going to like print out the, or I'm going to pass that in to the lower level component here. So that gets passed in as this.props.name. So you can see this here is the same as this one here. And that's what gets
That's a JavaScript object. I can put, it's not just the one property, I can have as many properties as I want to. You just have a notation there for.
So if I had something else on here, like fish equals, and I could pass it just a string here if I wanted to. So I could say like eel. Are eels fish? Eels are fish, right? Yeah, I'm sure. What else would they
Sure.
They're not spiders.
I feel like
you have
Dave
to pick a
notice.
Controversial choice.
I know. I couldn't think of a fish. I panicked. So then I would have access to like this.props.fish from here. I don't know if it's smart enough to actually like IntelliSense that. Let's see. Props. No, I don't don't think it's quite smart enough to know what the state of the
prompts are. No fish.
That's unfortunate, but I feel like I'm expecting too much from that anyway. So in order to get changes in the lower level components back up to the parent, we end up passing in a function, basically. So in this case, I'm passing in this.update name as the function that's going to get called. And all that does is it's just going to set the existing state inside my component to include my new name. So this is, when I call this here, this onChange, it's just going to be like a standard JavaScript onChange event, and it's going to get passed back up in here. So this is going to be just like the event args. So we'll take a look at the target.value, and that's going to be the text in that box. And we're going to use that to set the state. So I can pull that up in a browser here, which is conveniently preloaded with this here. And we could just do the standard demo that everybody sees here.
And very standard. That's pretty much what everybody uses.
Everybody is concerned with that. And if we take a look at the source on here, it's just F12 that. Come on, browser, you can do it. We can just dig into this component here. And you can see that it's annotated with like some nice little React bits here to give you some hints. And I actually have this React plugin here.
Fancy.
Which allows me to take a deeper look at all of the components on the page here. So I can actually see, like, when I ask for a logo, this is the bit that gets rendered out as the logo.
Mm.
So it's super handy, it's super convenient, and one of the really interesting things about React is that it works by diffing the HTML tree on the page with a virtual DOM. So that means that you can attach it to pre-existing data, which allows for doing server-side rendering, basically. Mm. And we can take a closer look at that in our next episode.
One minor correction, Fishwitch is actually called a fillet of fish, not an eel.
Oh, yes. We can do that. I don't think we can say that. That name is copyrighted by a large corporation.
Oh, and yeah.
Mess with, because they're already poisoning people with nuts, so I don't want to get on their bad side. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us. As per always, if you have any questions, comments, or if you're a legal representative of a large fast food chain, feel free to leave us a comment right down there below. We will read every comment, and if we read yours on air, or if we answer your question on air, or if you promise not to sue us, we will send you a handy-dandy monster sticker, which looks a little bit like that.
They make your laptop faster and they repel corporate lawyers.
Let's hope so. If you see me at my next conference and I have additional stickers from a large corporation, you know that that was part of the deal to get out of what I had said.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.